I will wait. Seems like the Lord's been talking to me about the truth and the Bible way. I'm so thankful for the saints. I'm so thankful for the truth. We may not hear that so much other places, but we hear it a lot among the saints, that we have the truth, or, pardon? Oh, yeah, or we love the truth, or, you know, thankful for the truth. And I was just thinking, like the Lord just was inspiring me about the Bible way and the true way. And, you know, we never want to stray from none of that, because there's some basic principles about the truth that is just what we have our foundation of salvation. And I thank the Lord. It's a message that may think that, well, I've heard that before, but it can really be inspiring. If we have it deep down in our heart, it is a foundation that will keep us steady and keep us on the right road. And it's something very, very important for us to understand, that of all the creeds and of all the different divisions and all the different so-called churches, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's to really be born again. And so we want to start reading in St. John, that little song that we sang earlier, 173, The Bible Way. I might say just a few words of that. It says, a name to live while dead will only God betray, then come as he has said, the Bible way. The third verse I mainly wanted to get was, no human creed or church will answer in that day. When God each heart will search, then choose his way. You know, I was just thinking at the end of time that the Lord's not going to call a church. He's not going to call, he's calling the true church of God, yes, the bride, the ones that are really saved. But he's not going to say, Methodist, you line up over here. Baptist, you line up over here. In all these different churches, he's not calling a human creed. But he's calling people that are really born again in his church, the true Bible way. So anybody that's saved and they're out in this sectism, yes, if they're really saved, they'll make it to heaven. But if they're dependent on the so-called church to get them to heaven, that's not going to get us to heaven. We've got to really be born again and serving the Lord with all of our heart, a personal salvation. And we want to read in St. John, there is but one true way. I'm just so thankful tonight for that one true way. In St. John 3:3, it says here, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Just thankful tonight for being born of the Spirit, to really know Jesus and know and be saved. That's so wonderful. I know, you know, it's just so wonderful, isn't it? To know that you're saved, to know that you've been born again. You know, that's what's kept us for many years, to know that the Lord done something for me, that his blood was applied to me. And, you know, none of us can live a holy life without Jesus' blood. None of us can be what God wants us to be without his blood. None of us could keep from sinning without the blood. The blood is powerful. And I just want to thank the Lord for these many years that he's kept us saved. That's been a wonderful blessing from God. And we thank the Lord for that. His blood will work a perfect cure. And we just want to go on and read down in the 14th verse. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I just thank the Lord tonight for his salvation, for Jesus, that he shed his blood for us, that we could be saved, that we could be born again. That's wonderful, isn't it? And that not just keeps us saved through no matter what. He keeps us saved through many years. He can keep us saved to the very end. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, you may think that in a way, we've heard this story over and over, but there's something so powerful about the blood of Jesus. There's just so, you know, we recognize, we really recognize as we go and live older and older, we realize people that don't get saved and they don't get applied and they don't learn how to stay on the right road, we see how the devil ruins their lives. It's because they do not have the blood of Jesus applied that keeps them saved. And dear ones, we can stay right on that road all the way to heaven. We don't have to be detoured. We don't have to give up. We don't have to get discouraged and backslide. We can stay saved if we really love God and love his Bible way. You know, there's something, I tell you, it's amazing what God has done for us. And it's amazing how he answers prayer and works things out. Just today, this afternoon, something I was really troubled about in arrangements and going to see my mother, the Lord answered prayer in a marvelous way. So if I act really happy, that has really lifted me up. That has just made me so happy, because I know that the Lord did that. It's a miracle how God worked to open up the way for me to go. I just thank the Lord that he is working. He answers our prayers, doesn't he? He's a mighty God. Sometimes we get troubled about something. We don't know how it's going to work out. And then God comes along and just opens up the way. Oh, he's just so good. He's just so wonderful. Trust the Lord. The Lord is going to help us. And we want to read over here a little more about St. John 4. I love the story about this woman, but in the 13th verse it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh this water, we drink it, and then we get thirsty again, knowing. My, there's nothing like water. I tell you what, you know, pop and all this other stuff, I don't even drink it anymore. I don't want it anymore. I'm not saying I never have it. If Christmas, they might put some Sprite in something. But I don't even desire that stuff. I want good water or good juice or something like that. But there's nothing like good water. But you know what it says? You can drink this water, and what happens? I know I woke up early this morning. My mouth was so dry. I was so thirsty. All I wanted was some water. But you know, we can just get thirsty again. But the Lord was trying to teach her that you're going to find something with me. If you get really saved, you'll never thirst again. You'll never, because you'll be saved and you'll have something in you that is wonderful, isn't it? You just have something that it'll keep you saved, and it's powerful. The blood of Jesus is powerful. I would never want to leave the Lord. It says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Never ends. It just goes on into everlasting life. And the 23rd verse, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, we want to get close to God, and we want to love God, and we want to know how to draw close to God. Well, he tells us he's a spirit, so if we're going to worship him and be a true worshiper, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we must have the right spirit, and we must want the truth. We must want the Bible way. And we try to go up another other way. It said you're just like a thief and a robber. If you try to climb up another way to be saved or try to join a church or just do something like that, well, that's not going to save us. We have to go Jesus' way. We have to want Jesus. And we may not understand everything. And I know when I was first saved, I didn't understand everything. But I understood one thing. I understand that the Jesus had wiped my sins away. He had completely took all my sins away. He had delivered me, and he had saved me. I know I've told this before, but I'll say it real quick. It might sound kind of funny, but, you know, I drank Alka-Seltzers, just loved them. You know, and I would drink them, and I was actually addicted to it. Didn't know it. But when I got saved, and I asked Jerry to give me some Alka-Seltzers, it tasted horrible. The Lord had delivered me from that addiction. And I didn't even know I was addicted to it. I just liked it, you know, so I get sick a little bit. I want that. But the Lord, when he saved me, he delivered me from everything. I never took drugs, but the Lord delivered me from that. So you know the Lord, when he saves us, he delivers from everything. Praise God. And you know it says, if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. I was thinking, well, what is truth? We talk about we have the truth, we everything like this. Let's read what the Bible says. St. John 14:16. You know, Jesus is the truth. He is the word of God. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. So it says over here in St. John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way for us to get to God except through Jesus Christ, through his blood. He's our only way that we can get to heaven is through Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other God that can deliver from this out of this sort. I think this morning it was mentioned about Elijah, but you know they can call on their false gods, but there's no answer. But Jesus, he is the great I am. He's the great God. Oh, I just love him. Don't you love him? He's helped us so much through life. He's been there. He's with us all the time. Answers our prayers, helps us out. He's just a wonderful God. Oh, we just love him tonight, and we just thank him. Praise God. And it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And down here in the 16th chapter of St. John, in the 13th verse, it says here, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, talking about the Comforter. And I want to read the 7th verse too. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus is talking now. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and he see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. But you know what the Lord is saying here? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and comfort you and lead you into all truth and guide you into all truth. You know, that's so wonderful that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our mortal bodies and leads us and guides us. Isn't that wonderful? The Spirit of truth. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell us to do anything but the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us in the right way and guide us in the right way, because it is the Spirit of truth. That's why we cannot follow false doctrine. We cannot follow anything that's not true Bible doctrine or true Bible way. When we're following the true Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not guide us into false religion. That's why if you find somebody and they're all getting all mixed up and stuff, they're getting guided by something else, because the Holy Spirit will guide us in the right way. If we'll keep humble and pray and we want the right way, the Lord will show us the right way. But we got to be willing to listen to the true Spirit and not listen to false. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they will not follow anything else that's wrong. This is how, you know, I was thinking how we as a collective body keep together. We have no, worldly, set up where we, to keep us together, cause us to stay together, but it's the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit guiding us to stay together, to be one church, to be, if we know that each other is really saved and born again, that we need to work with one another and love one another and help one another and encourage one another. And this is how God works with his people. And we know, you know, you say, well, we know this is the church because they teach the truth, the Bible way. That's what we're trying to say, that we have the truth. It's the truth is God. The truth is the Bible. It's not just what people make up or rules that they set up. It's what the Bible says. You know, you say, well, just saying see eye to eye. It said they shall see eye to eye when they come to Mount Zion. I'd say on basic truths of the Bible, yes, we do. We do see eye to eye. We do see all the truths in the Bible. If you believe the whole Bible, I believe the whole Bible. Do you believe the whole Bible? Yes. Well, do I believe the whole Bible? Yes. Well, we see eye to eye. Because we believe everything that's taught in there correctly. That's what we believe. And praise God, that's in the world, you know, they don't respect the Bible. They don't respect the Bible like the saints do. They're not willing to submit themselves to the Bible and to the Word of God. But we're thankful tonight for the true and the truth and the, praise God, the wonderful truth. We want to read 17 and 17. It says here, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We say, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, thy word is truth. There's something powerful about the word of God, saints. It's amazing. It's more than amazing. But there is some scriptures I have taken in my lifetime. One of them is, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. There's been times when I've had to be in a certain place where it was maybe dangerous health-wise, but I could claim that scripture, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. Never has. I've never had any problem when I claim that scripture. Do you know there's such power in his word? If we would take a hold of a scripture and really claim it with power, there's power in his word. There's just power in his word. It's not our words, it's Jesus' words. They're wonderful words of life. And we can take those scriptures and believe. It said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You know, sometimes we have mountains in our lives. We have problems in our life that we don't know how to get out of. And you know, we can say, Lord, by faith, I can conquer this mountain. By faith, I can be an overcomer. By faith, I don't have to get discouraged. By faith, do you believe in faith? Do you believe in the truth? Do you believe in the Bible way? So take those scriptures and use them. Speak them. You know, sometimes people, you know, they just speak things, downhearted and think, you know, you can say to yourself, or you can say out loud. You can say things like, I'm discouraged. And just negative things. And you know, pretty soon that's exactly what you're going to be. But you got to speak faith things. You got to say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not discouraged. God is too good. He's too great a God. You know, and you got to think, you just talk so positive and so affirmative with God's word that it's powerful. Take his word. Any kind of problem you have, take his word and take the Bible away. I was thankful. I want to turn over here to Romans a little bit. Romans in the 6th chapter. I'm so thankful that there's one truth that we have that is so powerful, is that we live free from sin. I can say right here behind the pulpit, I'm living free from sin. And I'm not doing it in a boastful way. I'm doing it because Jesus' blood has saved my soul and sanctified me, and he keeps me from sin. And I don't have to sin because Jesus' blood is there. And every one of us, if we're living free from sin, we can declare, praise God. Do you know that's a miracle? You think you're just being a saint on your own? No way. No way. It's Jesus' blood. It's Jesus' blood. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, I tell you, this doctrine of, Jesus, he loves us so much. His grace just overlooks all this sin. He's going to take us to heaven anyway. We can't live free from sin. All that false doctrine is of the devil. It's not the Bible way. But Jesus' blood that shed on Calvary atoned for our sin. And we don't sin and we don't have to sin. Well, you say, well, what if somebody does sin? Well, then they got to repent and ask God to forgive them and go back the Bible way. Because there's no sin in God's church. There's no saints sinning. We live free from sin. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're praising God for the blood of Jesus. I praise God for you. The Lord helps you to live free from sin, and the blood's on you. You're my sister. You're my brother. It's wonderful. God forbid that we sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. When I got saved, I quit sinning. That's it. Quit it. Because I walked in newness of life. Praise God. And it's only the blood of Jesus can keep us from sinning. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. When you destroy something, it's destroyed. You don't even have to, you can be tempted. Well, the devil can put something in your mind and tempt you, but if you don't act upon it, you're not sinning. It's when you willfully turn away from God. As long as you want God's Bible way and you're determined to keep walking and keep trying, God's going to keep you from sin. Praise God! Isn't that wonderful? We can live many, many years on this earth and go to heaven saints. Why do you think we're called saints? Because we're just special, or we're just in the church of God. Well, we're special to God because we're redeemed. That's why we're saints. We're redeemed by the blood. Oh, it's wonderful. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And it said in the 11th verse, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, you know, this one thing too, you know, it seemed like, you know, sectism is like, you know, well, we can be saved on the inside, but we can do whatever we want to do with our body. The Lord wants your mortal body to be holy. You've got Jesus in you, your body to be a holy body. That's right. Till shit, sin, reign in your mortal body? God forbid. Holiness. Praise God. Just tell me, what is pretty about sin? Nothing. Can you think of anything pretty about sin? I can't. Sin is ugly. It destroys people's lives. If you just think for a moment, there is a real devil, because you see a devil in people's life. The devil's ruining people's life. And I know years ago when I got saved, how the devil spoke to me. Well, you don't want to, you get saved and you won't be able to do this or that or whatever. He lies to people. And when Jesus got me and got a hold of me and got me saved, I was a different person. I didn't want to do those things anymore anyway that the devil thought. Tried to make me look like I was giving it up. I didn't want to do it anymore after I got saved. I was a new person. That's the way we are. We're changed. Oh, praise God. And we can live many years that way and go to heaven. The Bible way. I'm thankful for the Bible way. I don't ever want to go anywhere else. I love the saints. I love the truth. I love the Bible way. Praise God. It's wonderful. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. I don't know how that could be any plainer. Now, what's wrong with people in the world that teach that you have to live in sin when the Bible is so plain? That's what makes the saints is because they go the Bible way. They love the Bible. And they love God and they love His truth. Praise God. In the 18th verse it says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, we are going to serve something. We are either going to serve the devil or we're going to serve God. We're either going to serve sin or we're going to serve righteousness. I'm so thankful tonight that we can serve righteousness. That we can love the Bible way and love is truth. Praise God. You know, we love the Lord. We tell the Lord, Lord, we love you. We want to please you, Lord. Help us, Lord. You know, the Lord, He knows that in our secret closets of prayer, dear ones, He knows your heart. He knows if you really love Him, if you're desiring to please Him, that you want to set Him as priority in your life, that you want God to help you to stay saved. And, you know, it's so important for us to have that personal relationship with God, that personal Savior. Many things can happen in us, or around us, and on our journey to heaven. But if we have Jesus as our personal Savior, and we know the Bible way, and we have desire that, the Lord is going to help us. The Lord is going to help us to make it to heaven. Praise God. Well, there's a lot in there about sin. But you know what? We don't have to sin. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we don't have to do that. Oh, I'm so thankful. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Hebrews 10, we want to read Hebrews 10 and 16. It says here, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The Lord is going to make a covenant with us, and He's going to put His laws, His truth, right into our heart, right into our mind, and that we will stay with the Bible way and stay faithful to God. It says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where's remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And you know, we don't stop just getting saved and stop there, but we go right into the holy of holies by the blood of Jesus. That's how we get there. And the Lord gives us His Holy Spirit to keep us, to comfort us, to guide us, to help us make it to heaven. He sanctifies us. That's wonderful. That's wonderful that He does that for us. Praise God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, it's not that we have so much boldness, dear ones. It's not that we are just, you know, so much, we're so bold because we know we got the Holy Spirit. It's because of the blood of Jesus we enter into this holiness. And we know that if it wasn't for Jesus, we would be lost. If it wasn't for His blood that saved us from sin, we would have nothing. So we praise God every day for that. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God, for salvation. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Dear ones, we're going to have a lot of faith in life. We're going to have faith in ourselves first that we know that we're saved. We've got to have faith that we know we're sanctified. And we've got to have faith that God can keep us to the very end. And we've got to know that there's a heaven for us. When we have this life is over, I know it looks kind of dark, going through the shadow of death. But you know, we've got to have faith that, you know, the God that saved my soul, that created me in the first place and gave me this wonderful life, and that shed His blood for me, that He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. We got to have faith that it's just a shadow of death and that we go into heaven. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? God has done so much for us. He's done so much for us. Praise God. Now, so it says here, I want to also read, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And then it says in the 29th verse, I wanted to get that. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, I remember when I was first saved, I was praying to the Lord, Lord, help me to stay saved. And this was years ago. And you know, the Lord, He talked to my heart. And you know, the Lord let me know, no matter how long you have to live, no matter how many years you got to live, I can keep you saved. You just quit worrying about that. I knew I was saved. I wanted to make sure I could be saved to the end. And I was just afraid that there might be something come up that might be too hard and I might fail. And I was worrying about that, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I will keep you. I've got keeping power. I can keep you saved. I can keep you saved over any kind of problem. I can keep you saved. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know? And He did that. And He's doing that. Still He's doing that. And we can't see the future. None of us can see what we're going to have to face. But you remember, the same Jesus that shed His blood for you on Calvary can keep you to the very end till you draw your last breath. He's a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. Praise God. In the 35th verse of that same chapter, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, we've got to have some confidence in some things. We've got to have confidence in ourselves that we are really saved. You know, if someone says, are you saved? You got to know you're saved. If someone asks you if you're sanctified, you got to know you're sanctified. You got to know where you're at with God. That's your personal relationship with the Lord. And you got to have confidence in God, that God loves you. You know, this is another thing that people sometimes get discouraged. I know I heard of one lady that got discouraged because she kept listening to the devil. And the devil says, God doesn't really love you. That's why you have so many problems. He don't love you. And she started saying that to herself. I don't know. I just don't think God really truly loves me. And she kept thinking it until she finally backslid. But we don't want to think that way. We want to have confidence in God that He does love us. Lord, you love me just like I am. You love me. And you want to help me, Lord, and you really do love me. We got to believe that. We got to have confidence in the Bible. Got to have confidence in the Bible way. You know, when you believe in something with all of your heart and all your soul and your mind, you don't drift away, do you? You don't run away. You don't leave. Because you know God showed me something and I'm sticking with it. God, you know, I remember as a young girl, and I've told this story, you've heard it over and over, and I won't tell the details, because especially your home congregation's heard it over and over. But I tell you, when I was young and as a teenager, I remember praying to God, Lord, please lead me to the right church, the right place. It wasn't the building I was wanting to be led to. I was wanting to be led to true people that taught living free from sin. Something in my heart said, you know, these other churches are not teaching, where I go here and there, they're not teaching living that free from sin and a holiness. I just had in my heart that, Lord, there's got to be a true people somewhere, a true church. Where is it, Lord? There I was, a teenager in Michigan, praying that way, and God worked in a miraculous way, bringing my husband into my life, and he knew the saints, but he worked that way to lead me and guide me to the truth. And you think I'm going to forget that? Mm-mm. Not going to forget that. I'm not going to forget what God done for me. We don't want to forget what God's done for us. We don't want to forget. None of us. God has worked in your lives. He's worked. Whether you were born among the saints or He had to bring you in, He still worked in your life in a mighty way. You could have been born to somebody else. You could have been way out there, born to somebody in sectism somewhere. Or you could have been adopted, or I might, you know, all of us could have been in all kinds of different situations. But God, in His great mercy, has let you understand some things, understand the Bible way. We got a lot to shout about. We do. We have a lot to praise God about. Thank the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord. The 36th verse of that same verse says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." You know, it's going to take a lot of patience to go through life. It's going to take a lot of patience and long suffering to keep in the will of God. But the Lord is able to help us, because then we will receive the great reward at the end. Praise God. Hebrews 12:2 says, let's read the first verse. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, the Lord has been showing me lately some things, and there's some weights sometimes that come along. They're not really sin, but they're just weights, things that try to disturb you. But you know, the Lord wants you to lay those aside. Just lay them aside. You don't have to let anything. You can just lay it aside. The Lord wants to help us. The Lord wants us to help us. It says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, saints, we have a race to run. Every one of us have a race, a life race. And we've got to make it. And we've got to try to help other people make it too. And sometimes it may look like you wonder, am I helping anybody? Am I helping anybody? But you don't have to look at that that way, because you know what? You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how you're helping people. You just keep trying. Because let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a race to run, and we want to run it the Bible way. I don't want to drift. We don't want to drift from the Bible way. Lord, help us. Help us to love your people. Love your church. Love. Love the truth. That's what we're talking about tonight. The Bible way. I am the truth. If you love the truth, you love Jesus. And you love everything he says. You can read some scriptures to people and they see it right in the Bible and they still don't want to do it. Have you ever met that? Try to teach some people the truth and say, see, here's the scripture right here on sin. And they don't want it. They just turn away from it. Now, well, yeah, it says there, but this says something in another scripture. And, you know, and you've heard this, the Bible contradicts each other and all that stuff. There's something lacking in their experience. If they really get saved, they're going to see the kingdom of God. The first scripture I read to you, you must be born again. You get really born again, people, they're going to have a teachable spirit. I know when I was first saved, I remember Jerry's grandma and grandpa, they were talking to me and trying to teach me the truth and all. And there was another young man that was a friend of Jerry's, and they tried to teach him, but he wasn't saved, you know, and he didn't want it. He didn't want it. And Grandpa says, well, you see, he didn't want it because, you know, he doesn't have a teachable spirit. He wasn't born again. But, but those that are saved, well, they have teachable spirits. They want to hear the truth. There's a difference. That's why I think sometimes we work with people and sometimes we're trying to get the truth to them. What we really need, they need the first work. They need to be saved. Pray they'll get saved. Pray that the Lord will save their soul. Then you got something to work with. On the Bible way. Looking unto Jesus. So let us lay aside. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know the Lord, he loves us. He wants to get us to heaven. And you know, he's going to chastise us sometimes to keep us on the Bible way. The ninth verse is, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, the Lord, he wants to, if he chastises, he's chastising us because he loves us, and he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, the Lord, he wants us to make straight paths for our feet. And that is keeping on the Bible way, the truth and the life. We're so thankful for the Bible way. We're so thankful. You know, we couldn't get saved ourselves. You couldn't get saved yourself. Jesus had to help you get saved. His blood is, to God be the glory. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. We can't do it ourselves. But there's something inside of us. We just feel his presence. We know he's with us. That's so wonderful, isn't it? I want to read one song before we close. There's a song that might be it. I opened to this and I thought it was so good about this young man. He was born in 1740 and he died in 1778. So that was 38 years old. He wasn't even 40 years old. And he got saved when he was 16. He wrote the song, Rock of Ages. We all know that song. But the song, what was so touching about this verse in 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When we all drink from that spiritual drink, it's Jesus Christ. And it says, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? You know, we could have so much zeal and do so much work for the Lord and do all kinds of good deeds. Or we could cry and cry and cry and cry. But that's really not going to save us. It's the blood of Jesus. It says, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I love that. I love that. In my hands no price I bring. But to thy cross I simply cling. That's wonderful, isn't it? While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. This young man, it said that he was saved in a barn. It's not the building. This building is not going to save us. But it's the blood of Jesus. We praise God for the building. I don't mean that. You know what I mean. I thank God that he gave people the work and the labor went into it. The money went into it. We thank God for a building to worship in. But the building is not what saves us. Knowing the saints even isn't what's going to save us. It's the blood of Jesus applied to our soul. The Bible way. Keeping that. Keeping that in our hearts is our foundation. It says, strange, this man wrote this. Isn't that something? 1740, he was born. Died in 1778. Strange that I, who had so long sat under the means of grace in England, should be brought. In other words, he went attended a service somewhere in England and heard, you know. But he went to Ireland, and on his trip to Ireland, I should be brought right to God, right with God, in an obscure part of Ireland, missed a handful of people who met together in a barn. And by the ministry, now listen to this, a minister. You know what? We don't need a big, and I don't have nothing against college, but I never went to college. But I tell you what, I've been in a school of learning through my life. But I tell you what, it takes the ministry of ministers that are saved and sanctified. That's the kind of ministry we need. It's not all, there's nothing wrong with college. We have college ministry. But we better have saved and sanctified ministers that are really saved. That's what we need. This man, to help this poor man get saved, that wrote the Rock of Ages, he was a man that could hardly spell his name. It's not our intellect. It's not how smart we are, if you want to use that word. It's not that. It's Jesus' blood. It's all about Jesus. It said, isn't it strange, in other words, what he's saying, I was led to God and found salvation. Miss a handful of people met together in a barn and by the ministry of one who could hardly spell his own name. Surely it was the Lord's doing and it was marvelous. Praise God. I was saved in a little house. I believe on, is it Utah Avenue? I think where Grandma lived. I was saved in a little house. And, you know, that salvation has kept me, and praise God. Or this brother was saved in a barn. Which we didn't bring out, it is not the building. It's not the building. It's us. It's me. We are the temple. We are all about Jesus. I thank the Lord for salvation. I just get so much good reading. I bought these books years ago at Mardell's, but 101 hymn stories. But anybody want to find them? You could probably find them on the computer. I don't know if they still have them. But some of my pages are coming falling out. I just love reading it about history behind these songs and these people that were just like us, human beings just like us. Even though they were born in 1740, they found Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the Bible way. That's why we can't ever lose any of it. Love the truth. Love Jesus' way. Pray for me that I'll always love his truth. Love him. If we love Jesus, we'll love it. We'll love the Bible way.